to PMP Network. We have with us Bruce Boxleitner, one of the heavyweights of Hollywood, and he's an actor and a writer. And I actually have watched this film, and you got to see it, folks. It's called Silver Bells. It's on Up TV December 1st at 7, 9, and 11 p.m. And we all have been there because I was a Little League coach and a basketball coach here in the youth leagues. You see the people that sometimes coach think that they're in the pros, and they get a little bit on the heavy side. And your character, he goes to places that aren't exactly good for the kids or himself.
Yeah, he does. That's his tragic flaw with him. But I have to agree with you. I remember being a Little League coach and for my boys, and you saw behavior from some of the fathers and some of the mothers, I might add, that I'm sure they would never want to see on YouTube. You know, some really over the top. I felt sorry for the boys, you know, that their parents were acting up so. And so I did have that to draw on. I'm a very competitive person, too, but I think Bruce Dalt, my character, you know, he stepped it up way over the line. And he pays for it dearly, you know.
Well, he's a television sportscaster too, so that has that comes into it a little bit too.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. He definitely falls from grace within his community, and especially in the eyes of his son and his wife and daughter. And you know, luckily he finds with the help of a sort of a guardian angel his path back to sort of redemption. You know?
Yes, he soon finds what
it's about.
Bruce finds what everybody in these movies always finds at the end, that what they didn't treasure was really the most valuable thing they had in their lives.
Exactly, and that's why I think it's perfect for, you know, the time of the year. That's when we all should, unfortunately, do that every day, I guess. But at least if there's one time a year, like Christmas and holiday season, that, you know, remember what's important in our lives. And he finds that out, you know. He finds it out the rough way, but he does it and does everything he can, and sets up to the one thing that he really wanted, that interview with the young ball player. He doesn't mind giving off to his younger rival, and that whoever takes the credit, what's that saying? Whoever takes as long as the job done, it doesn't matter who takes the credit.
Right.
You know, that I guess that's...
Of course, that's not usually something that a TV sportscaster would take to heart, you know, because
right,
they're very competitive.
Right.
They're competitive.
They're very competitive,
yeah.
But I loved it. I loved it. It was as soon as I read it, I said yes. I saw the possibilities of the character, and I thought I could fit right in there. You know, we've all over the years watched newscasters, sportscasters, the weathermen, you know, and sometimes they're quite funny. And I thought of a guy here in L.A. that all the years I've lived out here, who was a prominent weatherman. But there's a couple of, I know a couple of sportscasters, and Bruce Dalt wasn't far off, I think.
No, I know some, too, and I agree that he's not far off. You know, talking about the cast of the movie, one of my favorites, Antonio Fagas, is in it. We all loved him as Huggy Bear on Starsky and Hutch. What was it like working with Antonio?
Well, we had a great... Antonio's wonderful. I can't wait to see him again. He and I have... We have a mutual passion for old vintage music, like rock and blues and various artists. Elvis Presley. We would sing songs to each other. We would drive the other... On the way to work in the morning, early in the morning, we'd be, you know, doing sort of a name that tune.
Mm-hmm.
And hum, and do you know this song, and you know this, and who did this, and did what, and drove Bridget Newton nuts, I think, at the time. Because she was going, will you guys stop it?
The interesting thing...
No,
the interesting thing about something like that is that it actually wakes you up and gets you really going, because it gets your mind thinking.
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
it does,
but
it was dark. Yeah. It was dark out there. We shot in a little town called Manatee, Michigan, about 2 hours out of Grand Rapids, and just this really, the streets we used and everything, really absolutely Norman Rockwell paintings, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to shoot there, gave it a real sense of Americana there, and that's why I felt it was sort of a Frank Capra-esque type of story. You know, Wonderful Life type of thing, where your hero at the end finds out what's important in life.
Yeah.
And it's not to be in for the win all the time.
It's a wonderful film. You've done a lot of TV shows. It's amazing how many. How many of them are any of them currently on the air in repeats?
No, because we really don't have. I suppose online you could find them. I don't really look myself, but I think you can stream some of Babylon 5. I think was they were playing How the West Was Won on the Westerns Channel here, Starz Westerns.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, the old series I did then back in the 70s with James Arness. I think that's about the only ones I know of at the moment. I think Scarecrow's Lone hasn't been, Scarecrow and Mrs. King hasn't been on in a long time. But, you know, they have a new life and DVDs and everything, which
they do.
I'm attracting a whole new audience that wasn't even born yet.
And, when you did these, obviously they didn't have VCRs back then or DVDs
and
stuff. Do you guys get royalties from when they put those DVD box sets out?
I don't know where we stand now at Screen Actors Guild. I'm not quite sure, even though I was on the board a number of years ago. I'm not quite sure what our deal is anymore. It's usually after so many million units are sold and that kind of thing.
Mm.
But we don't get that. I think the myth is that we get these huge residuals. Maybe the big stars who have those put in their deal do.
Yeah.
Deals, the Bruce Willis's and people are getting the movies, but no, I don't. We don't get much out of that.
It's interesting
at all because I know the Guild did not have a DVD deal for a long, long time.
Mm.
So the residuals that's a huge myth. You couldn't live off of those.
So, it's interesting. Sometimes people get a little piece of the action, piece of the show, if they're on it long enough.
Yeah, that's
when you make
generally, if you're one of the major stars of the piece, you probably work that into your initial deal. That's usually to the back end, like after profits and stuff like that. Television, I don't know so much. We don't have syndication anymore. That's why it used to be you did 22 episodes a season, and you tried to aim for, you hoped for 5 seasons.
Right.
That would give you 100 episodes or more, and that would sell well into syndication. But we don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
Netflix is making its own TV series.
And they're doing a good one, too. It's a nice TV series, too.
And they're doing a good one,
yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's a brand new business now, and the technologies have driven it, the new media's.
You know what's interesting? I find the Comic-Con very interesting. I have a friend of mine, Tom Snegoski, who is a writer. He wrote the Fallen series for ABC Family, and he's there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that you go to these things as well because you are a writer as well.
Well, I have in the past, a long, long time ago, I had books, but that's a science fiction novel. But I have a project that's out right now that I'm pitching, and we have it's with a player right now, and we're waiting to hear, but I've been for the last 2 years, and I've been going to a lot of conventions. Developing a fan base for it before we even shot a picture or a pilot. It's kind of a different way of doing it, getting Twitter and Facebook likes and things like this. And the studios are looking at these things now. They're looking at the popularity of actors, just how many followers they have on Twitter or Facebook or any of those things that measures their popularity. All these things weigh in now. And well, we didn't have anything like that in the past. We had TVQ. Back in the day.
Yeah.
What was your rating on television? And, but anyway, I mean, I do a lot of conventions. I've done, I'm very identifiable with science fiction, with Babylon 5 and the Tron franchise, which is still ongoing. And so it's a nice thing because, it originally started with the Star Trek people, the Trekkies, but now it's all of pop culture. It's an amazing phenomenon. I just got back from Canada 3 days ago. I've only been home a few days, and from the weekend in Winnipeg, and then there was New York Comic Con before that, which was gigantic, New York City Comic Con. And, of course, San Diego Comic Con is the granddaddy of them all.
Right.
It's 180,000 people.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. But Hollywood discovered them, especially the San Diego one. And, I mean, that's when we did Tron Legacy. They rolled out the carpet down there, and they bought up a whole city block and turned it into the set of the Flynn's Arcade and stuff. And, you know, they spent millions of dollars promotion down there, and every show trots out their cast down there and panels and Q&As and things like that and presentations of new movies, new TV series, everything, you name it. Everything in pop culture is out there now, so... they're actually getting bigger and bigger and more popular.
It's amazing. As I said, I have friends that go there and they sign autographs all day,
yeah.
And they sell a ton of books.
I do too.
Yeah, I mean it's amazing.
Yeah, I do that a lot. So
I just discovered for those out there who want to follow Bruce on Twitter, that he's Box Lightner Bruce on Twitter.
At Box Lightner Bruce on Twitter. Yeah.
So I'm Media Man 2009.
Somebody else took my name.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
I said, I'm Media Man 2009. I just friended you a little while.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah, but because that's the way we promote our interviews. We promote them on people's pages as well as our own.
Oh, it's a great promotional tool. It's a great promotional tool, and it's a good way to get an idea of what your fans are thinking and doing, and they get a sense of you. It's a whole different world.
So you said that you hadn't written for a while. You're not writing any books? You're not working on any stuff like that?
No. I was out. I'm a great young screenwriter for this Lantern City. You can go to lanterncitytv.com and look up this project and follow the instructions. And we've got quite a presentation, I think. But I have a young writer named Matthew James Daly, who I feel like I'm helping to discover and helping become known in the business, and he's fantastic. And what we wanted was some source material. So for this project, Lantern City, we wanted a source book.
Mm-hmm.
So he sat down, and we have a published prequel novel, first of three, proposed three books that give the history of the project before the TV series is even on. So it's a whole new way of marketing, but he's a marvelous writer. And that's what I was out, because I co-created the project. I was out at the recent Comic Cons, presenting that book and talking about it.
So that's at lanterncity.com?
Lanterncitytv.com.
TV.com. Yes. Okay, because we'll put that link up.
TV.
We'll put the link up to that with the interview so that people can go to it. Yeah. So I want to thank you so much, Bruce, for coming on the show. And just a reminder that December 1st at 7, 9, and 11 p.m., you can catch Silver Bells on Up TV. Check your programming guide to find out where that is in your community. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, man.
Bye-bye, Bruce.
All right.